just something, someone, to just show up with the right words at the right time to pick us up. And yet, we don't know where that came from or why. But yet we understand, folks, we are never alone. When you think that you're alone, it's when God's Spirit is truly there with you. Walk with you, talk with you, be with you, and get you through whatever it takes to get you through the other side of whatever difficulty you're dealing with. You believe that? Give the Lord a hand of applause. Well, I came up with this real clever title. For the next several weeks between now and Christmas, and like I said, of course, Monica and I will be gone during the month of November, but Truman Monroe is coming in for 3 weeks. Be nice to this man. He's coming in, and he's looking forward to coming and being a part of this wonderful congregation. But one Sunday, Truman couldn't be here, and a young man who's been here before by the name of Chris that works for Stephanie. Sweet young man. And he'll be here, I think, the second Sunday in November. And so come out. Support these guys. Be here. I promise you, Monica and I will be in church. There's a church down there that we go to when we're down there. We're going to be in church. I need and expect you guys to be in church here during the month of November, okay? Please come and do that. Support these guys. It's where you need to be. We're going to miss you. You're going to
miss you.
Well, that was very overwhelming.
We're going to miss you.
Oh, thank you. Yeah. How many of you are going to miss Monica? You're going to miss Monica, raise your hand. There you go. There you go. That's what I thought. So anyway, keep that in mind. Now, but for the next couple weeks that I have still left here, and then through a couple weeks in December, we're going to be preaching out of the book of Psalms, and I called it the Psalms Way. Isn't that clever?
Very clever.
Huh? That's clever, isn't it, Mark? You know, we do it the Jesus way, let's do it the Psalms way. There's some great advice and some great reminders in the book of Psalms and in the book of Proverbs, two of my favorite books. So let's take a journey through some of Psalms and see what it says to us. Are you ready? Say amen.
Amen.
All right, here we go. Let's stand right. Chapter 25, verses 4 through 7. Show me thy ways, O God. Teach me thy paths. Simple, but powerful. Father, be with us during these moments as we look at your word. Father, may it come alive on the page. May we understand the guidance that we need every day of our lives. Father, may we follow you. May you lead the way. Father, as we look and study through some of these scriptures in the book of Psalms, Father, that you truly give us direction in our own personal Christian walk. Father, we love you. Bless these moments together. In Jesus' name. And everyone said?
Amen.
Now, this is like a prayer. Show me thy ways, O God, and teach me thy paths. Every day, from the moment that my feet hit the ground, I'm on a path. Make sense? Now, some of us are in a routine. Everybody knows what a routine is, don't you? I mean, if you work, you do the same thing. You get up Monday morning, and you're in a bad mood. This is routine every day. You get up. You try to get something in you. It's coffee or it's something. It's some type of a breakfast. You know you don't want to go to work, but you have to because you got to pay the bills. You got kids to raise. You got to check to write to the church. Notice how I threw that in there? So, I mean, you know, you got to get up and go do what you've got to do. So you try to wake up, and you go about your routine. You get up the same time, you leave the same time, you get to work, and you start doing whatever work it is that you do. Everybody with me so far?
Yes.
Satan loves for us to get in a routine, and let me tell you why. Because when you get in a routine, you don't have to think. You just do. I do it over and over and over and over and over and over again. And Satan loves it when we don't have to think, because then he starts thinking for us. From the moment that my feet hit the floor, whether I know what I'm going to do that day or I don't know what I'm going to do that day, I say, Lord, wherever my feet take me, I want you to go before me. I say this same thing, so it's a little bit of a routine for me, but it's a prayer routine. Whenever I go, whatever path, because I may get a phone call that may change my direction. And the line of work I get one phone call, I may have to run to the hospital, I may have to run to somebody's house, I may have to run here, I may have to go do whatever I got to do, okay? So, but whatever that direction is, I need God to go before me. Because I've had times when I didn't take God with me on a path. Now let me tell you, when you do that, you're in for a ride. Yes, you're going to make a lot of wrong turns. And when you make a lot of wrong turns, you have a lot of issues. So, show me thy ways, O God, and teach me thy paths. Look at number five. Guide me. Guide me in thy truth. And teach me. For thou art the God of my salvation. For thee do I wait all the day. Sometimes, when I say, Lord, I need guidance in a decision. Every day we make decisions. Some of them are just routine decisions, like what am I going to eat for breakfast? But sometimes, you don't ever know when you're thrown in to have to make a pretty major decision. Believe me, I've had some times in my life where I had to make some major decisions and I had to make them fast. This is when I say, Lord, guide me in your truth. I need to know the truth. I need to know, Lord, what you want me to do. When I do that, and I realize I'm going to learn something. See where it says, teach me? Never get to a point where you're not teachable. I don't care how old you are. I mean, you can be real old. Or you can be real young. Or you can just be middle-aged and muscular. Okay? But hey, I need God to teach me every day. Now sometimes lessons to be taught, the only way you learn is through pain. See, my dad was raised from the old school. He knew that the only way for me to learn, there had to be a little pain involved in it. Believe me, from the times that I've ever had pain in my life, I learned a lesson. Whether it was self-inflicted, or whether or not it was punishment, or whether it was physical, an illness, or whatever. When you're in pain, you remember what it is. And once it's fixed, you don't want to do that no more. If I take a hammer and I hit my hand, that hurts. Next time, I don't do that. If I keep doing it, as I say, you got to put me in a rubber room somewhere. Because I ain't got no sense. Nobody likes pain. But pain teaches. When we fail to do things the right way, pain comes along. Now, when it does, that's when you learn. Now look. For thou art the God of my salvation, for thee do I wait all day. Sometimes God just doesn't come with an answer this quick. I say, Lord, what do I need to do about this? And I'm expecting an answer right now. Don't you, when you pray, don't you want an answer right now? You don't want to wait, do you? I don't want to wait till tomorrow, week from now, 2 months from now, especially if I'm sick, or especially if it's somebody that I love that's sick. When I ask for healing, I expect it now. That's not how it works. You see, God knows more than I do. So the biggest teaching tool that God teaches us is sometimes we have to be faithful in waiting. You see that? It's very important. waiting teaches you how to have faith. And believe me, in the world we live in today, you need faith. I have faith that God's going to take care of it. It may not be right now. It may not be 2 hours from now, 2 days from now, 2 years from now. But He will take care of it. I've been praying for healing for my foot for 15, 16 years. It hasn't happened yet. But I believe it's going to. But even if it doesn't, I still have my foot. I'm still standing. I'm still preaching. And so ain't no sense me complaining. I might as well just go on and do what I've got to do. That's called just going on and waiting on the Lord. And He'll do it under His sweet, wonderful time. And if He don't, you're better off anyway. Give the Lord a hand of applause. Number 6. Remember, O God, thy tender mercies and thy loving kindness, for they have been ever of old. That's a fancy way of saying, Lord, I never get tired of your grace and your mercy. Don't ever take God for granted. You understand that? Don't do that. Don't take His love, His mercy, His forgiveness, and His amazing grace for granted. Live for God every day. Pray to Him every day. The key word here is remember. 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 Remember where you came from. Remember who you are. Remember that God was there for you. Remember He died for you. Remember He loves you. He knows you. He knows even the hairs that's upon your head. He knows how many hairs is upon Scott Hayes' hair. Head. Hair, head. He knows. He knows how much is on my head. He knows how much is on anybody's head. Cute, funny, or whatever, it doesn't make a difference. What I'm saying is He knows you. He knows who you are. He knows what you are. Knows what you're about. Knows what you've done. And loved you in spite of you. This is what's great about God. He knows your past and still loves you. He knows what you said. He knows the jokes you told. He knows the things that you did that no one else does. And yet He still loves you. Can you imagine that kind of grace? That kind of mercy? So I think it'd be a good idea to remember the best friend you got on this planet is God. Because when other people won't forgive you, He will, if you're serious about asking for forgiveness. Give the Lord a hand of applause. Now, I look at this verse a lot. This is a pretty neat verse. Look at this. Remember not the sins of my youth, nor my transgressions. According to thy loving kindness, remember thou me. For thy goodness sake, O God. Let me put it to you in everyday language. Jesus, remember me. But don't remember my sin. I get to heaven one day. I don't want Him to say, depart from me, I never knew you. I want Him to say, welcome home. That means He remembered me. He's going to call me by name. He remembered me. But He forgot. He blotted it out. He erased it. He made sure He did not remember my past. Because other people will throw your past up to you. You know that. Can't wait to. They know what you did in 1984 and won't ever let you forget what you did in 1984. But if you've asked God for forgiveness, He don't know what you did in 1984. He could care less. Remember not the sins of my youth, nor my transgressions, but remember me. Remember me with your kindness, for you are good, O God. for a child of His. As long as you've had a salvation experience, you've accepted Jesus as your Lord and Savior, you believe in Him, you've asked for forgiveness of your sins. Because when you ask for forgiveness, basically what you're saying is, Father, will you forgive it also? And the promise is yes, I will forgive and I will forget. Because here's the deal. If I don't ever forget it, I'll never forget it. Let's just be honest. If I can't forget what you've done to me, I'm not forgiving you. Because all it takes is just one thing to bring it back to memory, and the battle's on again. This happens to couples all the time. This happens between parents and children. Because we can't seem to get past what someone said to us 20 years ago. What someone did to us. And I'm not saying that's easy. Especially if they've hurt somebody you love. I'm not saying that's easy. But I'm just telling you, when it gets right down to it, from Psychology 101, if you can't forget it, you cannot forget it. But that's not that way with Jesus. Not only did He forgive, He forgot. It's gone. It's erased. And now, say, according to my loving kindness, remember me. He will never forget Roger. But He forgot what Roger did when it comes to the sin in his life. I don't care who you are and whether you watch me read that or how you watch me. Everybody here has got sin in their life. Everybody here has got a past. Now, those of us who've been a Christian for a long time, we're working on it. We are a work in progress. You understand that? But we're never going to be perfect. Lord knows we're never going to be perfect. Not yet. The day's coming. Not in this flesh. I'm not going to be perfect. But no matter what mistakes I make, if I'm sincere about asking for forgiveness, and if I'm sincere about walking the path of Jesus, He forgives it, He forgets it, and He puts me back on the path. And let me tell you this. What you learn, and here's how you learn it, is you put Jesus in front of you. You follow Jesus, because this means Satan has to come up against Jesus first. Because if I get ahead of Jesus, He's coming to me. And Satan will whip your tail. You're not big enough to beat Satan. You're not going to do it. He will whip you to an inch of your life and love every minute of it if you don't put Jesus out there in front. And let me tell you something. Jesus is going to sit here and watch it. Because Jesus don't get involved until you invite Him. When you've had enough. And sometimes it takes us to really get enough in our lives when we've heard enough. A few years back, I had this young man about 25 years old walk down this aisle. And this young man had had a horrible life. 80% of it was his own fault, 20% of it was he was just a victim, but nevertheless, a horrible life. And he just came up to me and he just said, I'm tired of fighting. I want some peace. He said, can you tell me how to get it? I said, well, the only way I know to get it is the way I get it. That's through Jesus Christ. I said, you need Jesus, you need Him right now. He said, how do I get Him? I said, well, let me ask you a few questions. I'll walk you through the plan of salvation. He accepted Jesus Christ. 3 months later, he got killed in a car wreck. But for those 3 months, let me tell you this. He was in perfect harmony with the Lord. Understand this. God knows the future. I don't. And whether when I accept Jesus Christ, I have 1 minute of peace or the rest of my life of peace, believe me, it's worth it when you know Jesus Christ. Because when He left this world, Jesus knew Him. And He said, welcome home. Welcome home. That's what this means. According to thy loving kindness, remember thou me. That's when he's going to remember us, before we see him face to face. That's what we want to hear. Do you know Jesus today? Do you? You're watching me by the internet. Do you know him today? You know, you don't have to be in church to accept Jesus Christ. You can do it in the middle of the woods. You can do it in a motel room. You can do it wherever you're at. You just bow your heads. You say, Lord, I'm a sinner. And I'm in need of a Savior. And I'm inviting you into my life. Please forgive me of my sins. Change me. Help me. Direct me. In Jesus' name. And if you're sincere about that, your life will never be the same. Doesn't mean your life won't be perfect, but it'll never be the same. Find you a good church home. Get in there. Work for that church. Give to that church. Be involved in that church where they're preaching Jesus Christ. And believe me, there's a lot of churches that are not preaching Jesus today. Get into a place where they're preaching Jesus. That's what it's all about. And when you do, the loving kindness will be there the rest of your life. Give a little hand of applause. Chat with you for a minute. We're going to introduce you to the kingdom of God. And maybe you are saved, but you've got a lot on your heart, a lot on your mind. You can come here to this altar, take as much time as you need, get things right with the Lord. Maybe you're looking for a good church home and you want to join us. Just come and say, Brother Roger, I've been saved, but I want to join your church and want to be a part of your congregation. We would welcome you with open arms. But most of all, we want to make sure you leave here today saved. Father, bless these moments. We thank you for it. Your spirit is in this place. In Jesus' name. Stephanie, what's our name?